everybody. You're listening to Chewing the Fat, where we talk about all things agriculture for the general public. Today, we are discussing the aftermath of the wildfires in the southwestern United States that have burned in parts of Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, and Colorado. These states are all large beef cattle producing states, Texas being number one and Kansas number three. The majority of the area and people affected were farmers and ranchers. And today we have a guest with us. His name is Danny Nusser, and he is from the College of Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service in Amarillo, Texas. He provides leadership for extension educational programs in agriculture, and he has his bachelor's degree in agricultural education and also got his master's in ag education. We want to thank you for taking your time and letting us interview you today, Danny, on Chewing the Fat here at Utah State.
Great to be here. I appreciate you and your area's concern for our ranchers here. So hopefully we'll be able to give you some information, kind of what's going on.
Awesome. Thank you. And the reason I reached out to your extension is because not many people around here, and I don't know of a lot of people in the northern states, really know the extent of the wildfires or the damage that it has done to farmers and ranchers and what kind of effect it's going to have on the ag industry.
Tremendous disaster and emergency that we've had here. And you guys are not, I know that you dealt with those types of things in your area too. And wildfire is just something we deal with out here in the plains. But this has been one of the bigger events that we've had in our history. And I think the numbers that I've seen, maybe the third largest wildfire that we've had in the history of Texas. And then when you add in the Kansas and Oklahoma fires on the same day, it's certainly one of the biggest that has affected our ranching industry ever. Huge, huge aspect. Here in Texas, we deal with basically three different fires that happened on that Monday, the 7th. One of them was here just north of Amarillo that was here in Potter and Carson County, about 30,000 acres that was affected. Second fire, that one was about 130,000 acres. And then the biggest fire was in the very northwest corner of our Texas panhandle. And that fire in itself was about 340,000 acres. So it was by itself the third largest in Texas. So a huge fire all going on at the same day. And one of the things that happens up here is, some of our blessings we've had actually creates some of these potential opportunities or potential problems that come up, and that's been the case here. We've had really two good years of growing grass and forage up here, and we had an abundance of forage out there, really good short grass here that, we're a dry climate, typically low humidity. This time of year, we'll have some winds, and in this particular day, we had the fuel out there with grass. We had 70-mile-an-hour wind. We had low humidity. All we needed was just a little spark from something, and it took off. And that's actually what happened in Texas. About 500,000 acres burned. I know in Kansas, from what I'm hearing, a little over that. And in Oklahoma, maybe just a little under that. Well over 1 million acres in those fires that happened that day.
Yeah, that's a lot of acreage. And then do you have any estimate for what kind of livestock was lost in the fires as well, and what kind of cost that has for the rancher?
Well, as some of your viewers probably know, that's an ongoing assessment. But right now, we feel comfortable in those numbers in terms of Texas A&M Forest Service provided those numbers in terms of acres that were burned. It gets a little harder to put a finger on exact numbers when you're talking about deads, injured cattle, those types of things. But conservatively, we're saying about in Texas, now that's not speaking for Oklahoma and Kansas, in Texas, we're conservatively 2,500 dead. And I think that number is going to grow as we get reports and as we talk to ranchers about those losses. So at some point, we're going to nail that down and be involved with those local emergency boards at FSA and be able to pass that up the line as we ask for disaster relief. But what makes it difficult is those death losses are kind of ongoing because guys have injured cattle, they're doctoring. They'll have cattle issues and health issues that'll show up in terms of respiratory issues, those types of things as we go forward. We've got a lot of baby calves that don't have mothers that the guys are trying to take care of, and the death losses increase in those types of things. So we expect that 2,500 number to increase. Lots of fences. Don't really have a finger on the total miles, but over thousands of miles of fences that are going to have to be replaced in these ranches, and that's a huge expense going forward for these guys. Obviously, we had some structures, barns, corrals, those types of things, lots and lots of those that have been impacted, and certainly the worst part of the whole fire is that we had four lives lost here in Texas during that fire. And so it's a devastating thing, and certainly lots of economic loss estimated at this time. And again, we expect this to grow as we get more information, but not counting equipment losses, we're in that $21.5 million economic loss to ranchers. As you know, that just doesn't impact our local ranchers. That impacts our communities.
Yes, and I actually read an article that stated it takes $10,000 to replace a mile of fence out there. Just to put into perspective for our listeners.
Start adding those numbers up, it gets up there pretty fast, doesn't it? If you're going to hire a fence put in, it's about $10,000 a mile. And so, yeah, those expenses are going to continue to grow.
Right. And kind of moving on to more of the ranching and the ranching families. So a lot of them are facing a major threat to the way of life that they have been in, that has been in their family for generations, some for 5, 6, or even 7 generations. So what are these people's plans for the future, or at least from the people that you've talked? And can you expand on what losing these ranches and livestock means for the livelihood of the future generations of farmers?
Well, you nailed it. You know, it would be a huge generalization for me to say, you know, this is what's going to happen to the ranching industry, just because every individual producer is affected differently. You know, what is their age? What is the potential for, you know, somebody taking that ranch forward? What is the financial situation in that ranch? And so those things all come into play, and all those ranches will be making decisions about their future. But one thing I will say about the ranching industry, and I'm sure it's the same way all over the United States, I know in for our producers, we could include Oklahoma and Texas in there, and Kansas in this, but these ranches have been in these families for a long time. There's a lot of resiliency and heritage and pride that these ranchers and ranch families have. This is their livelihood. But it's more than that. It's a passion. It's what they do. And they've been through the good. They've been through the bad. And one of the things that I feel strongly about is that these producers are going to bounce back. And in most cases, they're going to do everything they can to get back where they were before this, and even in better shape. So that just speaks to the character and the resiliency, I think, of the American rancher and American farmer.
And I don't think there's a better word to describe a farmer than resilient. All right. There are emergency programs run by the Federal Department of Agriculture, but that is currently facing a 21% cut under President's budget proposal. So right now, I have some numbers that I found. That program provides about $200,000 per rancher for replacing burn fences. And you've kind of already touched on that, how that's definitely not going to come close to replacing fences, and then also $125,000 per rancher for livestock losses. What kind of action do you think the government should be taking right now? And then also maybe what kind of action is being taken by the state governments as well?
Well, at this point, you know, our state government has asked to release some of the CRP acres, and that was asked in a declaration by our governor and approved at federal level. So that's one option that we've got for at least short term, that some of those grasses could be a place that they could move cattle.
What are CRP acres?
Right. What are CRP? The Conservation Reserve Program basically is a government program that's been around for a while, that those people took, our producers took farmland out of production and planted into native grasses. As they've gone through that program, they're paid to leave that grass alone, so they can't graze it except in emergency. So what they've done is release those grasses to provide, in some cases, a rancher that's been affected to move those to those pastures. There's also the potential to use those pastures for hay, so that may be a potential too, but that at least gives us somewhere to go with the cattle potentially. And so that was a help. The livestock indemnity program deals with cattle losses, those that have died. The federal government pays, that program in particular pays 75% of cow's value, and so that's helpful. There is a cap on there, as you mentioned, so some of these bigger ranches will get to that cap pretty quickly. There's some other emergency loan programs that will be asked for. there's some conservation type programs that are going to be made available for help on fences through NRCS and also FSA. And so some of those fences will have some money available to help guys. And you mentioned this too. Those are also caps. So some of those ranches will hit that pretty quickly also. And there's some $6 million that's been released to help guys with the losses in pasture. And typically in our part of the world, our short grasses are very resilient. Our limiting factor is typically Mother Nature. So if we can get some rains and moisture here this spring, that's going to be as much as a benefit as anything for us in terms of our grasses and pasture. The federal and state government they're stepping up, and I believe they're going to step up in helping these producers. There's just so much that the limitations in terms of how much a producer get are going to have an impact on some of these, paying some of their bills going forward. One of the things that's going to be helpful for that is a program that we've been involved in, and I know that a lot of local charities have been involved in, but initially when all this started, what we did as an agency was stand up livestock supply points in three locations throughout this area. And I know that Kansas and Oklahoma have done the same thing. And we made a call immediately when these fires went through that, hey, we need feed. And it has been unbelievable, the support we've got. Matter of fact, about a weekend, we were kind of asking folks to quit bringing hay and feed because we had an abundance. And then the third thing is we set up some 501(c)(3) accounts that people could donate. And it's been awesome what folks have done. There's a lot of people out there that have set up funds to help ranchers. So hopefully with all of that, there's some opportunities for guys to offset some of the expenses.
Yeah, there's a lot of positive action from a lot of good people, sounds like. Just to kind of wrap things up now, what kind of effects are the wildfires that took place last month going to have on the ag industry in the Southwest? And then if you can expound on that and expand to maybe the whole industry and if it's going to have any effects on food supply.
Obviously, initially, we're going to see some impact globally just because of the emergency, the number of cattle that we've lost. I don't see that it'll affect our food costs in any way. But, you know, there's typically a trickle down, a reaction to an action, if that makes sense. So that's going to happen, something we can't control. You know, one of the things that I'm more concerned with is the financial hardship that we have with those individuals. And we talked a little bit about that earlier, and it's just overwhelming what impact this is going to have on individual producers. And it's because it takes so long to rebuild, so expensive to do that. And this is their livelihood. In most cases, these ranchers, that's what they depend on. And so for them individually, it's a tremendous loss financially. It's a tremendous loss emotionally because of their involvement with that and how they love it. And there's some obviously stress involved that we're going to need to help these ranchers through. And I think one thing that we've encouraged is neighbors to step up and check on these guys and really be a positive influence on them in terms of saying, hey, we've been here before, we're going to be all right. And I think that our ranching community does a good job of that. But we all got to be involved in that a little bit. It's going to be tough on communities even. A lot of those folks that live in those communities are indirectly affected by what happens on those ranches and farms. So there's no doubt that there'll be a ripple effect as we go forward trying to rebuild and get these guys back on their feet. But we've been here before. 2006, we lost a million acres right in this area. I'll say this also, you know, going through that fire in 06, we had another round of fires in 11, and then this one. We're getting better on how to deal with these things too. And you're never prepared fully, but you learn from those things. And it's going to be devastating. It's going to be hard, but there's no doubt that we're all going to come out of it. And these guys are going to be better off than we were before it happened.
Yes, it's very devastating, but it means a lot that you took your time to explain to me and the Aggie radio station and our listeners just exactly what's kind of going on down there and what kind of effects the wildfires are having. So thank you so much, Danny Nusser, for coming on our show, Chewing the Fat, and breaking down what's going on down there in Texas and in Kansas and in Oklahoma too. So thank you so much.